This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Joy. Who's got some joy? You know, when you've got joy, you start smiling. You could even laugh. Hallelujah. Even though the body might be aching. Praise God. You know, I was thinking about even the, you could have everything going wrong. Say you suddenly got some news, you got $1 million just given to you. Your body is aching. You think, well, I can't rejoice. Well, I think you probably would find a way. You'd probably smile. But all that was said this morning, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Rejoice. You know, there's a sacrifice of joy that we can bring. And it's a delight to do it because we've got an awesome Father. All right, we're going to just quickly recap. I've been focusing on the kingdom, and we shared about John the Baptist coming and declaring repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here, right now. And then the king arrives. Jesus started to preach, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he began to demonstrate it. The sick were healed, lame were walking, demons were cast out, deliverance was coming, healing, restoration was coming. And people from all over were flocking. Multitudes were coming together to hear the word of the king who spoke about the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is right here, and then he demonstrated it. Remember I shared about just the issue of just a lack of power, and how God or Jesus is the one that anoints us with the Holy Spirit and with power. He anoints us with the Holy, he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire because he wants that demonstration of the kingdom. All right, and then Karen spoke about the kingdom of God as well last week, and I had somebody say to me, you know, her preaching is second to none. I'm thinking, oh, what more could she have but the kingdom? Started to eye her differently from that time forward. But praise God, I'm just so glad, you know, God's raising up people, there's excitement, talking about what we have in Christ Jesus. So, let's go, first of all, I want to read a scripture, Romans 14 and verse 17. Paul is talking there, and he's talking about not getting hep up about different things that we may believe that the Bible says. Don't get strung up over those things. Some people believe that you could eat certain things. Others believe that you couldn't eat those things. And he said, don't get strung up over that. You know, whatever your conscience tells you, you obey that because that's the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Bible says clearly too, that's what you read to find out what the rules of the kingdom are. And that's what Karen spoke about. You want to know the rules of this new kingdom that we're in? Start reading the Bible. And you'll find out what the rules and privileges and rights are of the kingdom that we're in. And if you don't read it, well, how are you going to know? The Bible, God says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. Often we cry out to God, where are you? Why haven't you done something? He said, well, read my word and you'll find out what I have done. Because it's all about believing what he has done for us. So no wonder he says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. It's through this word that we get to know the Lord and know what he's done for us. And then by faith, we can appropriate it. So Romans 14 and verse 17, he said that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. No wonder we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So the kingdom of God is not in eating or drinking or these billions of sorts of rules that we can make, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So no wonder God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got a little note here. I don't know if it's my mischievous spirit, but I put this down. What are you full of? I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote, yes, I do, I've got to confess. What are you full of? Well, if it's the wrong thing, get rid of it. Get empty of that and get hungry for God and get full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit attracts people. Sorry, Karen, I will get to that in about 5 minutes. I want to show something up here and I'll let you know. Acts 10 and verse 38 says this, talking about Jesus Christ. It said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by... That's the kingdom that we're a part of now. That's the kingdom that has come to us and that we can lay a hold of and receive. That's the kingdom that has come to us. It's in the Holy Spirit. So I'm establishing here that Jesus is our model. He's the one that said, follow me. Is that right? And we've all made that decision. He brought to us a demonstration of the kingdom, however that was, through a brother or sister praying for you, somebody witnessing to you, telling you their story. You've been brought to the kingdom. I have a different one to you. God demonstrated his power to me, and I said, I want in. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. He said, well, part of the condition of that is you follow me. Yes, sir. I began to follow. Well, the disciples were following Jesus and they were trying to work out, where does all this power come from? And they asked him a question. How do we pray? Basically, they're saying, how do you pray? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Have you got them there? Matthew chapter 6. And verse 9 and 10, we're just going to read those two verses. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that when you start praying that, you are actually declaring war? That's what you're doing. You're going to be praying that prayer. You better be ready for the conflict. Because there's a kingdom that's come to this world that is totally opposed to the kingdom that is now governing this earth. We're here to actually see that kingdom in this earth out. We want to see the kingdom of God come, his will being done. So that right at the end in Revelation, he declares that the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what we're here for. Remember Karen shared all about that? It's not just to zap us up to heaven, because he might as well have just shot us as soon as we got saved. We're going to straight there. But no, it's for that we should rule and reign on the earth, which was God's original intention. And he hasn't changed his mind. Who is it? The meek shall inherit the earth. It's the meek that obtain the kingdom. So that's what he wants us to do. So when you start praying this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you better be ready for warfare. Now I want to tell you two things that you need to know in warfare. First of all, if you're going to be a soldier, if you're going to enlist in soldier, Paul says to Timothy, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please his commanding officer. Well, have we? It's a different mentality we've got it. No wonder we've got to read the Bible. It's not that the democracy of heaven is at hand. It's not that. You know, it's not about voting. Let's have a vote, decide whether we... No, we've got a commanding officer. Do you know that Joshua, when he was raised up to take the people of God into all the promises of God, he was all geared up, he was ready for the fight, and he gets his vision of a man, I think it was a standing opposite him, and he had a sword drawn in his hand. He says, it's amazing. Who's this guy? And he goes over him and he says this, and he says, are you for us or against us? See, it's not about a vote. It's about, you know what the angel said? He said, neither, but as commander of the hosts and the armies of heaven, I am now come. Joshua fell on his face and said, what do you want me to do? Not about voting. That's what we've got to realize. So if we're going to enlist for an army, you've got to be ready for it. You've got to have the right attitude, and that attitude is obedience. We heard that word this morning. To obey is much better than sacrifice. And then the other thing you're going to need is strength. That's why the Bible tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, God has a totally different view of what strength is to what we have. You all know the story of David as a shepherd boy. Here's Samuel the prophet, who's told by God, go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. He had about 11 of them. Go and anoint one of them because he's going to be king. So off Samuel goes. He's the man of God. He can see who the right one is. And he gets out and he checks out all of Samuel's sons. And he looks at the firstborn and says, man, he's a tall, strapping, strong young man. He says, surely that's the Lord's anointed. And God says, nope, he's not the one. You know what God told Samuel? He said, Samuel, I don't see as a man sees. Man sees the outward, but God sees the inward. He sees the heart. And so God is looking at the hearts of men and women. We've got a totally different idea of what strength is. We think strength is building up ourselves, and in a way it is. We've got to build up our inner man. Now here's the difference. You know, we're at our weakest and most dangerous place when we think we got it together. So if you read the Bible, you read about all the kings of Israel that God raised up and did mighty things through. When they got to the point where they thought, wow, I'm strong, that's when they're at the weakest. That's when they're at the most dangerous. That's where the enemy could get in on their lives. But God's idea of strength is a person who is completely dependent on him. Who does God, when Jesus came, who did he say would enter the kingdom of God? This gives us a key. He said, as you become converted and become like a little child, you won't enter. What is it about a child is they are dependent. That's our strength. Now I'm going to show you something. If we just watch this video, just before you start, this is a clip. I just want to give you a background so you can appreciate it all. How many have watched Captain America? I like those kind of shows. Anyway, this is a clip from Captain America where he gets sent to boot camp to train to be a soldier. So just watch that. Unless...
When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I let it slide. I thought, what the hell? Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, doctor. You win wars with guts.
Grenade! Oh, my God!
Get away! Get back!
The dummy grenade.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
He sees the inward. And when I just relate that. You know what Jesus said? If any man wants to follow me, you know, as a multitude, and he spoke to his disciples, he spoke to the multitude that were gathering, they're all pressing in to hear about the kingdom of God. We want part of this. We want in on this. And he turned around to them and said that if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross, deny yourself. This laying, it's laying down the offer. If we want to overcome the enemy, every soldier has got to learn that they're there to lay down their life. Because that's the point that God's looking. He's looking that for us. In fact, in the book of Acts, when Jesus said to the disciples, he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. He told them, tarry there until you are endued with power from on high. You know, we can charge off half-cocked, not ready. That's what boot camp's all about, is to get us ready. So when he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they're endued with power from on high. You know, the disciples want to know, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom right now? He said, that's not for you to know, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's what God wants for us, to wait and tarry until he endues us, because we'll rush off in our own strength. You just have to read the Bible to see that, wasn't it? Moses get called by God, and he rushes off in his own strength to do it, and he fails miserably. He confronts the Egyptians and Pharaohs, and as soon as Pharaoh says, right, I'm after you, he runs for his life. It's when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's learned in boot camp that you've got to lay down your life. They overcame him, who? The devil in Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, that's what God's done for us, and they did not love their lives to the point of death. Are we ready for the battle? Well, until we're ready for that, until we're prepared to be able to lay down our life, we know the Bible says that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, this is where we get, this is our boot camp. This is where we get to find out whether we can love one another. He says, okay, I'll make it really easy for you. I'll give you all the same heart and mind. You all love Jesus? How many have been offended, hurt by a brother? We get hurt by those that are closest to us. It's true. We're all the same. I'm the same. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm pointing at all of us. That's where we get hurt the most. But if we're going to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us and abuse us, if we want to see breakthroughs into people's lives, that's what we're going to be prepared to do. And so, you know, he says, is this a test? He didn't even know it. That was good. So that's the key. There are two things God wants us to have, and that's strength. And it's not our own strength. It's the strength that he supplies. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is the right attitude, and that's obedience. God's idea of strength is completely different to ours. And obedience is the one thing that a soldier has to learn above every other thing. Because we keep asking God, are you for me or against me? You remember when we had Linus Perry here, the prophetic guy? He said something back then. I wrote it down because it just, I thought I've got to think about that. And he said this, to the extent that you are expendable, to that extent you are useful to the kingdom of God. Wow. I thought, hang on, I want to check that one out. What about all my gifts and my talents and all that? No, he said, to the extent that you are expendable, to that extent you are useful to the kingdom of God. It's all about obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. How did King Saul? This is the deal. God wants to raise up kings. Kings have authority. Kings have power. He has made us in Christ a kingdom of priests. A king has authority and power. Well, he raises up Saul. And how did Saul lose the kingdom? He lost it through disobedience. He lost it because he reasoned with what God commanded him to do. And he changed what God. He didn't fulfill what God told him to do. So he made lots of sacrifices. He made lots of offerings. But the prophet rebuked him and said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And it's obedience to the point of death. And it's, if you want to put down scriptures, it's Mark 8:34, where Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, now I want to go back to Matthew 6 and verse 9. I've been talking all about verse 10 there being a declaration of war. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Remember I said the other week that it's actually out of our intimacy with God that our authority and power comes. Verse 1, we've got to get down pat before we can go to verse 2. This is how we pray. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What a simple phrase. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's all about relationship. That's where our strength is. Not in building yourself, it's knowing who you are in him, that he's your Father. That's how Jesus, if you look at the life of Jesus, that's where his strength come from. It was not in the mighty miracles that he did and feeling good, wow, and encouraging his faith in all the mighty miracles he did. Right at the end, when Jesus is just about to go to the cross in John chapter 13, the Bible says that Jesus, knowing who he was, where he was going, he got up from supper, he stripped off his outer clothing, put a towel round himself and went and began, he got a basin of the water and began to wash the disciples' feet. And that way, give an example about serving one another. Because he wasn't serving to try and build himself up or prove his ministry. His ministry came out of who he was. And that's what God wants us to know. He's our Father in heaven. You know, like Father, like Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I do what he does because I love to be with him. I love to pray. Sometimes prayer becomes a duty and we forget it's a relationship. My Father in heaven. Now, so many times I run away from God and don't pray because there's an area in the life that I don't want to deal with yet. Every time I come to, he's my Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. And the more time you spend with him, alone with him, the more time he can plant his nature within you. You're not trying to do things to prove who you are. You already know who you are, and everything you do comes out of who you are. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is one I just want to finish on. Hallowed be your name. Do you know how many know what that word means, hallowed? Say that again, louder. Holy, yeah, holy. Let's bring it down to earth. You've got something in your home that is really precious, really special to you. How do you treat it? With great care. You put it in a safe place. It's something you are not going to loot. You're not going to let kids get it. Know what kids will do. But something that's precious to you, you keep it in a safe place. You keep it where you know exactly where it is because it's holy to you. All right? We're being told here to pray, holy is your name. You know, the scripture says that God's name is blasphemed among the nations by the way that we treat it. You know, devils know the name of Jesus. So it's more than just knowing the name. It's hallowing it. It's making it holy. It's venerating it. It's actually more than just a static thing. You know, something that's precious to somebody, they just won't stop talking about it. You know what's precious to people? They can't stop talking about it. They won't shut up about it. We're to hallow his name. Hallowed be your name. You know, God said he was going to build a house. Said this to David, he said it to Samuel, he said it to Moses, I'm going to build a house, what, for my name. Well, we're that house. We're that house. We're a house for his name, where his name is holy. It's hallowed. It's precious to us. You know, doesn't it, it says in a couple of scriptures in Exodus and Deuteronomy that this is part of the law that he will not hold, how's it go? He says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. He won't hold you guiltless if you take the Lord's name in vain. You know, I remember being right at state school. We had a religious instructor come to the primary school in Sylvan South. It's not a school anymore. And I remember sitting there, and our religious instructor's name was Harry Lansmere. And he was a spirit-filled man. Talk about the flesh. But anyway, Harry Lansmere, I knew he was coming, but he wasn't quite there. And so I'm in the class and I go, Lansmere. So I said it out loud so everybody can hear it, mocking his name. And he comes into the, he heard it and comes into the classroom and he says, who took my name in vain? I'd never heard anybody talk like that. And I'm in fear and trembling. I tell you, I wasn't going to say boo and hope nobody was going to dob me in. But they didn't, praise God. But it gave me such a shock. Here I'm mocking him and talking about his name, caught me out. And I've never forgotten that. And he was a godly man. Praise God for this man that God sent to the school. And here I'm a little mocker and scoffer. But the word that he taught, and his holy attitude to Jesus and affected me. Praise God. Praise God. So hallowing the name. Don't take his name in vain. Man, don't take his name. He's built a name, a house for his name. We are that house. So that the way that you act, the way that I act, the way that I speak, the way that you speak, either hallows the name of the Lord. Now think about this. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He names himself as his name is, so is he. As his name is, so is he. He is the Lord, our righteousness. That's his name. He is the Lord, our peace. That's his name. He is the Lord, our strength. That's his name. Hallelujah. He is the Lord, our healer. That's his name. He's named that. We're a house for his name. And when we begin to praise the name of the Lord, you know, Psalm 103, let's go to Psalm 103. I want to talk about some of the things that we forget to do. Psalm 103. We'll start from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, that's talking to yourself. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, if that's true, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And just before that, it says, bless his holy name. You know, if we're forgetting to bless the Lord and bless his name, we're going to forget his benefits. Wouldn't that be right? You know, like I said, somebody who loves something, you can't stop them talking about it. You don't know how they remember all this stuff. Well, they're singing about it. They're praising it all the time. No wonder that whatever you love, you're going to talk about and you won't forget it. Well, who do we love? We love Jesus, the name that is above every other name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is Lord of all. So I don't know what sort of things might be coming in your life. Maybe it's lack. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. How many have had lack in your life? If you have lack, I want you to start to praise the name of the Lord. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Start to praise him. If you've got sickness, weakness, start to praise him that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our healer. I'd get excited about that. Get excited about that. Praise his holy name. There's a couple of scriptures I want to read about praising his name. Where we go? Need my glasses again. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Well, there's a lot of praising here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his host. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all you stars of light. Praise him you heaven of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Go down to verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. And also verse of Psalm, where are we? 149. And verse 1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. We had that word about joy this morning. Let them praise his name with the dance. How many praise his name with the dance? You've just found out that he's the Lord your provider. You know, we would, like I say, if you had financial lack, somebody just told you, you've just been given $1 million, we think, well, money troubles are over. You might even do a little jig. You'd be kind of happy. Well, here's the Lord, our provider. Here's the Lord, our provider. I just read that. You know, we worry about checks at my bounce. You get $1 million check, I'll be worried about the thing bouncing. I'm not so sure this is real. Well, this won't bounce. God's word is settled forever. The entrance of God's word brings light. It creates faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As we begin to read this, it's true. He speaks to us. He is the Lord, our healer. Man, that is something you get excited about. I don't want to forget that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. Praise his name. I don't want to forget it, so I better begin to praise his name because it won't bounce. It's true. It's sure. Where are we? Did I read? Let us praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. How many are singing on your bed? Few. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. There's that warfare again. And punishment on the people to bind their kings. What kings are we talking about? We're talking about demonic principalities, kings. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment, this honour have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Hallowed be your name. His name. He's our provider, he's our healer, he's our deliverer, he's our peace, he's our righteousness, he's our sanctification. You know, how many times have you felt... Oh, I'll just share this. We were regarding this. We're in the prayer meeting Friday morning. Just let all the guys know there's a Friday morning prayer meeting here, 6 to 7. And we're praying away. It was a bit of a struggle, actually. It was like a real heaviness. And anyway, one just prayed regarding the song of praise that God had given us. Suddenly it just woke me. I said, of course. It's like God woke me up. You know, begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. You know, let God arise. And his enemies what? They scatter. Man, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. So who can use these weapons? Somebody who's, you know, he's done all this physical training, he's mentally astute, he's got it all together, he knows every scripture in that Bible back to front, he's researched. Is he the one that's ready? You know, what did Jesus, when he sent out 70 of his disciples to preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and they came back to him with exceeding great joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. These are people that are rejoicing. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice at your names. You're part of the family. That's why you have the name of the Lord. He's our Father in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, where God said, this one is mine. That's my daughter. That's my son. I love you and I'm proud of you. Absolutely secure in him. And then you have authority to reign as a king. You know, just praying this morning, talk about those elders. 24 elders worshipping before God, and they get their crowns off and they cast them before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think, well, that seems a you know, if God gives you a crown to then throw it down, that just seems a, you know, I didn't think that was very respectful, but it suddenly dawned on me, that's not my greatest joy. Oh, it's good to have that authority in your name, but I throw that down because I'm your son. You're my father. You're my father. Hallowed be your name. As he crowns us and gives us authority because we know who we are in him. And we want to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God Christ. We want to see people come to Jesus Christ and know who he is. Hallelujah. I was going over there and I got sidetracked. Happens a lot. Yes, the disciples came and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they were full of joy. You know what? I told you before that the 12 disciples he sent out with exactly the same commission, they got caught up. They got sidetracked. Remember, it got to the point where they couldn't cast this demon out. They got sidetracked. Because they started to have they came to Jesus and said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You don't think that when you're in relationship with your father. You don't. It's not a case of who's the greatest. You know, in a family, the father and mother love all the children the same. Well, that's how it should be. You know, we can have our favourite, you know, because we like certain characters and that, but we treat them all the same. No matter what age they are, no one's more important than the other one. And so what happened to the disciples to get into that attitude? How did the devil get in there and start getting into competition? Maybe the focus was on the crown, focus on how good, and they couldn't preach. They were disqualified. And so he sends 70 more, and they return with a great joy just serving him. And the Bible says that in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and he said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and you've revealed them to who? Little children. Isn't that awesome? So it's not how much Bible knowledge you know. You read that Bible because you want to know more about your Father. You want to know more about his name and then worship his name, praise his holy name. So can I encourage you, we're just going to finish now, and I would like to pray for ones that need prayer right now. But can I encourage you to begin to pray and start to praise his holy name. Start to find out what his name is called and praise his name. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Somebody, Elaine, can you come up and just praise the name of Jesus? You know that song? I just want to start off in the right key. Just stand up with me. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortune. That's the one.
Yeah,
just stand up. Just lift your hands up.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my deliverer, fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. He's our healer. If you have a need for healing, he wants to heal you. He is the Lord, our healer. And as his name is, so is he. How shall they call upon the name of the Lord? Let it be an act of faith. If you need healing, just come up the front right now and receive it, because we're calling on the name of the Lord. If you need provision in your life, God is Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. He's brought us to this place, to this holy mountain, and he will provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory, because our desire is to serve him and him only, and we're willing to lay down our lives for that cause, because for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. Thank you, Lord. Whatever your need is, Jesus has met it. I don't know. Here's another thing. He is our righteousness. I believe there's some you've been on the outer because you've got this feeling that you've got to clean up your act. You've got to get your mind right. You've got to bring all those thoughts. You've got to get everything clean before you come to. Well, the Bible says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's all God's looking for. Just as you saw that film clip, you know, we're all weak before him. We're all filthy before him. But he's the one who makes us clean. Don't run away from him, run to him. He'll do it. He's able to do it. He is the Lord who sanctifies us, sets us apart, makes us holy. And he will do that this morning because we praise that name of Jesus. So if anyone, just come up now and we'll pray. And I will dismiss if you can go quietly, but those who would like to stay in and pray with me, please do. But if not, don't talk in here. Just go out to tea and coffee and we'll join you in just a minute. But I'd like to pray. Father, thank you. Just before I'll just close in prayer. Father, thank you. For this day, this is the day that you have made. We are glad and rejoice in it. And thank you, Lord, that we are called by your name. And so we just humble ourselves, Lord, and pray. And we seek your face. Even before we have turned from any wicked way, we seek your face. Thank you that we can come to you just as we are. Lord, not trying to hide anything, but just as we are, because we believe, Lord, you are the Lord that forgives us and heals us. You will heal our backsliding. You will heal our failure. And you will set us apart as holy. Lord, we believe that because you are that. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for your peace, your joy, your presence, Lord, to fill every home. And Lord, that we will continually bless your name at all times. Your praise will be always in our mouth and in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray it. Just come right forward and we're going to pray.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.
Some